We don't remember everything we learn in school, for sure. But sometimes one or another thing sticks with us. One thing I once heard in a scripture class, I remember every time one of the relevant gospels appears. Scripture professor once told us, when the Lord is asked a question in the gospels, he never gives a straight answer. He's asked a yes and no question, and he does not say yes or no. So it is in the gospel today. John the Baptist, who's in prison, sends a couple of his disciples to Jesus, having heard what the Lord has been doing at the beginning of his public life. John the Baptist sends his emissaries with this question: are you the one who is to come, the one we have been waiting for, the Messiah who has been promised? Are you the one who is to come, or should we look for another? The Lord does not give a straight answer. He does not say yes. One reason he might not want to say yes is he does not want to testify to himself. Testifying to ourselves has limited value. When you're looking for a new job, the employer doesn't expect that you will give yourself as a reference to tell him what a wonderful person you are. The Lord says, let what you see and hear testify to me. What is happening in the wake of my presence? The blind regain their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised. Those were signs that were foretold would accompany the advent of the Messiah. We heard that in the first reading of the Mass today from the prophet Isaiah. Prophet Isaiah is prophesying at a time where the kingdom of Israel has been divided, has fallen on hard times. God makes the promise that he will come with vindication, with divine recompense, to save his people. And when that happens, when God acts to deliver his people, when God sends the promised Messiah, the anointed one, these are the signs that will accompany it. This is from the first reading. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened, the ears of the deaf be cleared. Then will the lame leap like a stag. Then the tongue of the mute will sing. The very wonders that the Lord points to as happening in his wake that should be reported back to John the Baptist. So the Lord does not have to give a straight answer, give testimony to himself. He points to these works that are testifying to him. Much better than saying, yes, I'm the Messiah. But there might be another reason the Lord doesn't just give the straight answer. A second reason as well. That really the direct answer to the question would be, are you the one who is to come? Yes, but. Not yes, but I'm not quite as good a Messiah as you are expecting. Rather, to the contrary, yes, but the mystery of the promised Messiah is greater than you have imagined. The Messiah that the chosen people were awaiting was to be the descendant of David, the perfect king, the one imbued with wisdom and knowledge and righteousness and justice, who would put everything right in the kingdom of Israel, who would restore it to its greatness, to its independence, to its influence. And beyond that, it would make the chosen people such a great and beautiful kingdom that the other peoples of the world would be attracted to it, would want to know the God that the Israelites knew, because it was so evidently a beautiful way in which to live. That was what the expectation of the Messiah was, this perfect king. Well, the weakness of that expectation, if I may say that, is that in that scenario, the people are the beneficiaries of the wisdom and justice and benevolence of the ideal king. But the work all belongs to the king. It's he who will fix everything. Those who live in the kingdom will benefit from it. But as subjects, as clients, the mystery of our redemption that the Lord Jesus inaugurated is a far deeper, greater, and more beautiful mystery than that. And this is where the second half of today's gospel comes in, where the Lord talks about John the Baptist. He concludes that part of the gospel by saying, "Amen, I say to you, among those born of women," which would be 100% of the population, "among those born of women, there has been none greater than John the Baptist. Yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." How are we born into the kingdom of heaven? Through our baptism. What happens in our baptism? This is a mystery we have been living with for 2,000 years, but we must never take it for granted. In baptism, the divine life, the life of God himself, the risen life of the Lord Jesus comes to live in us. We are not just subjects. We are not just clients. But we participate in the work of salvation. Because when the life of the Lord Jesus comes to live in us, the signs that accompany the coming of the Messiah are perpetuated in the world, in human life. The blind regain their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the good news preached to them. These things happen again, continue to happen, as the Lord remains in the world through his own life dwelling in us. They continue to happen in three ways. In the first place, miraculously, as they did during the life of the Lord Jesus. As you may know, no saint who's not a martyr is canonized without two miraculous, otherwise entirely inexplicable healings being attributed to the intercession of that saint. Likewise, Lourdes is a famous place of healing. The limited number of those miracles really scrupulously medically attested. So those physical healings do continue to happen in the life of the church on a limited basis. More broadly than that, these signs in which the suffering of the afflicted is relieved happens through the charitable work of the church. Those who have every kind of challenge and disability have been cared for, helped through the initiative that Christians have undertaken out of love for God and love for others. But even more broadly, these signs of the Messiah's presence are seen in a metaphorical way in the lives of every Christian. The dead are raised. We who have been dead in sin come to a new and much better life. Those who have been blind to what is right, blind to the needs of others, blind to their own faults, how easy is it to be blind to your own faults, have their eyes opened and live a new life by virtue of the divine life living in them, living the new life of grace. The lame walk, those faults that we have that keep us from walking a straight line. This is a famous saying, I think it's in St. Paul, about our dislocated limbs being put back where they belong, because when we walk with a limp, it just gets worse and worse. The lame walk, lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear. Those who have been obtuse, who have had given no attention to the voice of God, begin to hear it. So, all these signs that accompany the life of the Messiah, it happens in those who receive the risen life of the Lord that he gained for us by his saving death and resurrection. And not only does that life of the risen Lord, the new life of grace, make a difference for those who receive it, it makes a difference for those around them. That their family, their household, their neighborhood, their workplace is different than it would otherwise be because a disciple of the Lord is there. So this is the great dignity of the Christian life that is entrusted to us in the new covenant. That yes, the Lord did everything by making the all-sufficient sacrifice on the cross. Yes, absolutely. Yes, the kingdom will not be here in its fullness until the last day. We are waiting for that day patiently, as St. James encourages us to do in the second reading today. But in the meantime, the presence of the Lord is seen in the world through what has happened in us. So it's a beautiful and sublime part of the mystery of the Christian life. And it's a great message to hear today as we have those who are preparing to receive the sacraments at Easter here at Mass to profess their intention of doing that. One young woman who will be acknowledged as a catechumen preparing for baptism, others who are already baptized persons who are preparing to be received into full communion with the Catholic Church at Easter. Of course, they are in a very privileged situation because for them, there should be a before and after picture available. Those who know you have known you before you were called by the Lord to follow him in this step to receive his grace. They will know you after. A most beautiful opportunity to give witness to what the power of the sacraments is. And for all of us, I mean, many people who know us never knew the before exactly, although we're always supposed to be having a more after picture than we had, you know, before the last time we celebrated Easter. But they should be able to say, there's something a little different about her or him. That person being in our neighborhood, in our workplace, that makes the place a little better than it would otherwise have been. That is the sign of the life of the living Lord present in us. So we give thanks to the Lord for the greatness of this mystery. We ask the Lord that we might never stop trying to live up to this mystery and the mission that he gives us. We ask the Lord especially to bless these friends of ours who are preparing for a great moment at Easter on Holy Saturday night when they receive the grace of the Lord in his sacraments.